Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Hey, really quick before we start with today's episode, if you have a team and you feel like you don't have trust in your team, you feel like they don't take initiative, or you feel like you micromanage them all the time because there's lack of trust, because you cannot trust them to do the things that you ask them to do, and maybe there's no shared mission. If you hire and train people and then they quit in the first couple of months, go to my website, natalieluniva.com/team, and subscribe to the daily newsletter. I know that you already have lots of emails. This is going to be a very short daily emails with tips that I bet you did not even consider. And so it'll help you go from what's happening and why is it there I cannot trust my team to, oh, now I see the problem. natalieluniva.com/team and subscribe to the daily newsletter, and I'll see you there. Hi, everyone. Today, it is my pleasure to speak with Morgan Williams about how to use cold email outreach to predictably fill your pipeline with sales meetings. Morgan is an enterprise sales rep and host of the B2B Sales Tech podcast. He's based in Chicago, Illinois, and he creates content that helps B2B salespeople master cold outreach so that they can book more sales meeting with their ideal prospects. Welcome to the show, Morgan.
Hey, pleasure to be here, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
How did you start working with SaaS founders?
I guess I should say like how I started working in SaaS. After I graduated college, I got a job in sales working in logistics, which if anybody's familiar with that is very high volume sales, kind of one call closed, transportation industry, very hectic. I knew I wanted to get into SaaS. So I found that when I got a job in cybersecurity. This was around 2016. Cybersecurity was a hot topic. The election was going on in the US here. And I thought it was a good opportunity to kind of break into the industry. The company was selling managed security services, so subscription cybersecurity software. When I got into that, I started to really get involved with cold outreach. My whole role was new business. So I was using primarily a phone, email, and a little bit of LinkedIn to get the attention of, you know, chief technology officers, CIOs, CISOs to book sales meetings. So once I started with that, I started to get really into sales and copywriting and the psychology of what it takes to get someone to respond to your sales messages, whether it be on the phone, email, what have you. And part of that journey was going onto Facebook and different websites and connecting with other people, a lot of them in SaaS industry and SaaS founders who were pretty much looking to do the same. Every day, every business needs to get new customers, no matter who, what business you are in, where you are, you need new blood to come into the system. So that's kind of how I started to get involved with SaaS and then, you know, helping people out when asking questions and started to focus in on this one core component of sales that everyone needs to do.
Awesome. So today we talk specifically about email outreach, and email is a hot topic, I think, because lots of people say that email is ineffective, especially during cold outreach, that the open rate is really low, the response rate is really low. So it's basically like the ROI on this activity is close to zero. That's what I hear from majority of people. Right. Obviously, you working with this and you've been doing this for years and years, and you know things that actually do work versus things that don't work. Mm. So I think it would be really interesting to hear your perspective. So how effective you think cold email outreach can be?
It's incredibly effective if used properly. Email is something that is unique to any other medium on the internet. The biggest thing about email, I think it's most interesting, is that nobody owns it, right? It is, it's a decentralized platform. You know, you're not, you know, someone can shut off your Facebook account, someone can, you know, shut off your LinkedIn account, but, you know, your email can get blacklisted, but you can always get a new one. And it's also the cornerstone of the on the internet. To do anything, to sign up for anything, to apply for anything, like, you need an email address to do that. So I think mastering email is super important. Also, it's the communication medium that everyone uses to some degree. Email is here to stay. It's the number one business communication. So being able to leverage it and harness it is truly powerful. What's very interesting that's been happening with email over the past several years is the proliferation of new technology that's coming into the sales space, like the sales tech space, that makes leveraging email even more powerful. So what I'm talking about specifically is when I first started doing email campaigns, and if anyone's, when they first get started, you know, one of the big roadblocks is that it's very tedious. It's very tedious and difficult if you have no context to find someone's email address, to figure out how to write an email that gets responded to, and to send out tons of emails. So using different software that's coming into the SaaS space over the past several years, like, you know, email finding software, where you can just put in someone's name and domain and find their email address, or email sending software, where you can, you know, literally just load up your emails in your prospect list and automatically send email messages and follow-ups, which is most important to people. It's incredibly effective. You know, you can take one individual and, you know, turn them into several, you know, technically speaking, with this technology that's coming to the space with email.
All right. So how do we start with this? Do you have a specific example that you want to talk about to give us more like actionable step-by-step?
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I think about creating an email campaign, I use the same framework every time and I start thinking about it the same way. This is an old framework that I first heard of Dan Kennedy. If anyone's listening who's heard of Dan Kennedy, he's like the Michael Jordan of direct response marketing, right? So he always used to say, and he has this thing in his books, like, if you think about a pyramid shape and you think, cut that, put two slices in there, so there's like three levels, right? Starting at the bottom, the most important piece is the market, right? Making sure that you're fishing where the fish are is the most important thing. The best message in the world doesn't matter if it's the audience isn't responsive. You want to make sure you're starting with the right market first. The next piece is your message or your offer, right? A lot of times emails don't get responded to because people are asking too much in that first email. So for example, I never ask for a meeting on the first email, never. I'm not looking to get a meeting out of someone, I'm looking to start a conversation, because it's very difficult to get someone from stranger on the internet to, okay, let's talk to 30 minutes. It's too big of a gap. First, I try to get them in a conversation, get them talking to me first, get them a little bit invested, then follow up and ask for the email depending on the conversation, right? So messaging is a huge piece of that, your message, your offer. Next is the copy, what you actually write in your email that gets someone to respond. Like you said before, a lot of people say email doesn't work. That's complete garbage. Email works. It works really well. It's just, if it's not working for you, you're doing something wrong, right? A lot of times I see people, like, they want feedback on emails. Okay, what are you sending? And they send the email they have, and it's this long text that's, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm with this company, I'm da-da-da-da-da, very long. Those do not work. People are not going to read that. You need to write your email in a way that gets someone's attention, grabs them, and gets them to respond to you. So, of course, easier said than done. How do you do that? Well, part of what I learned, you know, back when I was working in cybersecurity and getting involved in this, is an old copywriting formula called ADA, or attention, interest, desire, and action, right? So when you craft your emails, you always want to use this type of framework. And this goes for any sort of sales messaging, cold calls, direct response ads, anything. You want to grab someone's attention, get them interested in what you in what you're offering, get them to desire it, and get them to take action. So those are just some like brief high-level bullet points on how you construct that. The bottom of the pyramid is more important than the top, right? If you, someone's dying of thirst in the desert, right, you know, you can sell cup of rainwater to them. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the market's the most important thing, then the offer, then, you know, your copy. So that's
got it. So then there are basically the pyramid consists of three layers, right? The market, next the message and then the copy.
Right.
When, for example, someone asks you to take a look and diagnose what's not working with the with the campaign that someone set up, for example, what are your steps? What are some pitfalls that we can generally see majority of people make?
For sure. Like out of 99% of the people I've talked to, two things that they can do to start getting more responses tomorrow is to send more emails and to follow up more with people, especially follow up more with people. So send more emails, right? When you're doing an email campaign, you want to make sure that you're not just reaching out to like 10 or 20 people. You want to reach out to many more than that. Now, the amount of people you're reaching out to depends because like email's getting harder and harder and more competitive, right? It used to be easier to like send out an email to, you know, with the mail merge tags to 1,000, 2,000 people and it'd be more effective. Now it's getting harder. I like to split my campaigns up into groups of, let's say, like 100 people, right? Or even smaller than that. And then get more creative with my personalization and copy. But definitely, like, you know, emailing 20, 30 people isn't enough. You need to email like at least 100, 200 people, like in a group to like get some, pull some data from it. Following up more. So this is huge. Another thing, if people say like, hey, I need help with my email campaign or cold outreach, I say like, okay, how many emails did you send? And say, well, I emailed 100 people. I'm like, okay, but how many times did you email them? Well, just once. Like, it's never going to work. You can get so much greater results if you follow up with people more, right? Like, you got to follow up with people several times to get a response. So here's something I do. And this is more on the aggressive side. So you can kind of play with this in terms of frequency and how many times you follow up with people. But what I have done in the past that's worked for me, I wrote a case study on this on my website as well, is I will take a campaign and I'll send 8 emails, but over the course of 2 months, right? So you're starting more frequent in the beginning and then you're stretching it out longer towards the end. So I'll send an initial email, follow up the next day for number 2, 3 days later, then 5 days after that, and then 7 days, 7 days, 14 days, 14 days. You're still following up. You're still being persistent, but you're not hitting someone up, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's too much, right? You can even stretch this out to following up weekly at first and then biweekly if you don't want to start that aggressive.
So it's very interesting that you say, because I think when a majority of founders start doing this outreach, what they try is they send the email Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then maybe the following Monday. So it's like 4, and preferably as soon as possible, because, you know, we want to get results right away, right? And see something tangible right away. So what you're saying is that basically 8 emails over the course of 2 months, it's good if you get some response in the first week or two, right? But do you see that majority of responses or some results come from like month two?
Yeah, I mean, it's across the board in terms of when people respond. I would say that most people don't respond on that first one. I would say it's weird. I've had people respond when I send a strip line email, which is essentially like saying like, hey, this is the last time I'm reaching out. If you need anything else, let me know. A lot of people respond on that last one. So, you know, you'd be surprised. I definitely start to see some responses in that second month. I think that like what you got to do is, you combat that with more sales conversations. So you reach out to more people. That way you're not too invested in that first group of people that, you know, may or may not come through and respond. So starting a campaign of 100, right? And then letting that run for a week and then starting another campaign next week and making sure you continue to start campaigns and keep launching campaigns. Something that doesn't get talked about much in the cold outreach space is what do you do when somebody responds? For some reason, I don't see a lot of information about that. You know, we all have a devilish side where we want to just send emails and have people book on our calendar and then sell them stuff and then, you know, sip Mai Tais on the beach. But it doesn't work like that. Most people are going to respond with some sort of question, right? How much is it? Who do you work with? How does it work? Do you have any case studies, things like that? So that follow-up, not like the cold outreach follow-up, but following up once someone responds is incredibly important as well. So you got to have a game plan in place for that too.
Do you have any specific recommendations? So someone does ask, okay, so how much does it cost? Are there any tested things that, for example, if you give the price right away, then you will never gonna hear back from them. But instead, like if you start the conversation or ask another question, any recommendations like this?
Yeah, absolutely. When you send an email to someone and they respond to you, before they responded to you, they went to your website and looked at who you are. Always. They're going to look and see who you are. So the website that you have, like the brand you have is important. The better your brand, the easier it's going to be to get responses to. So something you can do just tactically, what you'll notice if you start doing this, you're going to start to get the same questions over and over again that you can fit into buckets. Like, you know, a price bucket, how it works bucket, who have you worked with before bucket, right? And you can start to craft responses around those so that you can essentially just like copy and paste when somebody responds, maybe make a couple edits, but copy and paste and reply so you can make sure you're responding quickly. So like, what do you write in those emails, right? To keep it moving forward and get them on the phone with you. Well, first depends on, you know, what you're trying to do. Are you trying to get someone on the phone? Are you trying to get them to a free trial? I'm going to speak about phone meetings because that's experience I have getting one-to-one direct sales phone meetings. So really, you want to keep them interested, but don't give away everything so that they don't need to talk to you, right? And it's kind of hard to give advice on that because it's really different for everybody based on what they are selling. But you want to try and do it so that respond so that you're giving them value. You're not just trying to be like, well, you got to talk to me before I tell you anything, right? You want to give them something more valuable and then, you know, ask them to get on the phone with you.
Got it. So let's take a step back and talk about specifically how do we set up a campaign like this. So you are suggesting, and I really like the idea that you every week you add 100 emails to your sequence. So no matter what, every single week you add 100 emails. But then what do you do? How do you collect those emails? How do you choose which companies to work with? Isn't that a lot of manual work to collect 100 emails? And then after that, okay, you send in the first email, lots of bounces. How do you avoid that? Any specific tools that you're using?
Yeah, so let's talk about company selection real quick. So what I like to do is, and this goes back to discussing markets, like when I first started doing email outreach, I would use like a tool like Sales Navigator to go in, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, to go in and put in filters for the companies I was looking for. And then I would scrape that information off of LinkedIn. So if people aren't familiar with Sales Navigator, it's a very powerful LinkedIn directory that you can use to filter out your ideal prospects. You can sort by company size. You can sort by, yeah, like headcount, revenue, job title, like all different sorts of stuff, and find your ideal prospects there. Before I would do that and then scrape that information using a tool like DuxSoup, DUX/SOUP, that would create a CSV file or Excel file of all their information, name, title, company, everything but the email. Then I would use a tool like Hunter.io to then link up the domain names with the first name, last name to find the generate the email address. And there's plenty of tools people can use for all the different sorts of stuff, but this is like the kind of stack I used. So now you've got a list of names, companies, and emails, right? Great. So like you said, bounces. We got to make sure that these emails are actually valid because they can hurt deliverability. So you can use a tool like I've used a tool called Never Bounce before, or you can use a tool called Kickbox, and that will verify the emails. It will essentially ping the servers for those email addresses to make sure that those actually exist. I would get rid of those, you know, hard bounce emails, and then I would load them up into a tool like Mailshake. What Mailshake does is it sends emails against that list over a period of time in set intervals. So that cadence I was talking about, you can type in, type in that cadence and this one this day, this one the next day, this one the next day, and then send it, load it up and start sending emails. So on the technical side of this, there's something very important that people should be aware of. if you're doing cold outreach in this way, I would advise against using your own domain name to do this. The reason being is that high volume email sending can hurt your domain reputation. And when you hurt your domain reputation, that means the emails that you send from your domain have a higher chance of going into spam. I made this mistake. I was using my own email address to send emails like this, and I was sending a lot. And then my regular emails started going to spam, like customer emails started going to spam, and it was not good. So what you should do is and there's different ways to do this, but you get a new email address. So say your regular email is SaaSBoss, or your regular domain is SaaSBoss.com. You can make a new domain called like SaaSBossMail.com. If you ever got an email from Facebook, you can see that they sent email from FacebookMail.com for the same reason, right? So what you do is you create that new domain and create a new email address on that domain. Then you set up a redirect in cPanel or whatever you're using in the back end to redirect to your main domain. So like we were saying, if you're cold emailing someone and they go check out your website and they type in SaaSBossMail, they won't go to like a blank page. They'll go to your main page. Next, you want to do what's called setting up some email authentication settings. There's a lot of people who know more about the technical side of email than me, but I know that this stuff is important and you got to set it up. So you want to set up three different things. One, these are all, I would say, acronyms. I don't know, but initials SPF, DKIM, and DMARC. And that's SPF, DKIM, and DMARC, DMARC. And what these are authentication protocols that essentially help you get to the inbox better, right? They are, when you're emailing and you're sending an email to another server, right? They're basically say like, hey, I am who I say I am. Let my email in, basically. If you're just trying to sell, like, that's all you need to know. I have never even set these up myself. I go on Fiverr and I buy this $5 Fiverr gig and some guy sets it up for me in like 24 hours or whatever. And that's how I get it done. This is important for deliverability. Like, you want to do that. So you got your new email. It's redirected. You've got your authentication protocols in place. Cool. So now you've also got your email list. You've got hopefully your emails written out inside of a tool like Mailshake or Woodpecker or Limlist, something like that. And now you're ready to go. So you don't want to start blasting out as many as possible. You want to do what's called warming up the domain. Again, there's a lot of different schools of thought on this, but I've always been fine just starting with sending out, like, set it to do like something like 20 emails a day for the first couple of days.
And I love how I think Mailshake is also offering you that, right? It asked you a question because I was using it before. And I think okay. Mailshake is saying to warm up your domain, make sure not to send out more, like, you know, this amount within this period of time.
Yeah. You want to start slow sending. So you want to send out, you know, you can start with 10, 20, and then after a few days, double it and double, you know, 10 to 20, then to 40, you know, week two, you're on 80 and 160. Right. So you won't shock the server, right? And have it start, your email start going to spam or bouncing. You can start slowly sending. But after that, you've got these emails coming in. What I've done before is, this kind of gets out of the realm of email a little bit, but it's helpful. Depending on what CRM you're using, I think it's very important to like do this with a CRM so you can actually move things through deal stages. Like a little Kanban board. So, you know, if you're using, like, I've used before Pipedrive, which I think is great for this sort of thing. Pipedrive is CRM. It's like a salesperson CRM, really good for outbound sales. And I had it connected to Mailshake. It would, any response that I got from my email campaign, it would turn into a deal on my Pipedrive board. And then I could then respond from it there. It turns into a little card on Pipedrive and I can go in and respond to the email from there. I can even put on little templates for responses. Like we were talking about before, like how to respond when someone, what to do when someone responds, you can do that. And then move it across the board. Now it's in my manual follow-up. It's in my pipeline. A couple things on following up or well, one thing for sure when following up, we talked about how to respond to people. One of the most effective ways of responding doesn't involve email, right? If someone emails you and you're there and you see it and you're there and can respond to it, and they have their phone number and this email signature, I would just call them. I would just call them that you immediately have context with them. They responded to your email. They know who you are. You can just call them up. Like, hey, you know, I sent that email about so-and-so's at Ring a Bell. Oh yeah. And then, okay, let me, and then answer their question on the phone. And now you're in, it's not a cold call where you have to explain everything in your email. They got a little bit of interest or else they wouldn't have responded. And now you're in a conversation with them. You can book a meeting from there. So that's also effective because a lot of times people can be interested on email in the beginning. And then if you take too long to respond or like they don't get back to you and then it's like back and forth and then it can kind of like just wither away.
So I think when someone else is doing that, that's great. You're right. This is such a easy to do step. But then when we are doing that, especially if a founder is a tech founder, a little bit more introverted, you know, so it's pretty intimidating to pick up the phone and call people. Did sure. you find that it's actually helps increase the close rate or moving people to the next stage? Can we not do phone calls?
It definitely helps. You don't have to, not at all. I would just make sure that like my responses are, you know, that you're putting more effort into your email responses to make sure they're solid. You know, you're testing things out, responding quickly, right? So response time is important too. Like how quickly you respond once someone responds to your email, how quickly you get back to them. So I would make sure I'm paying attention to that. It's a way to find people who are raising their hands saying, I'm interested. That's what this is. How can I spend more of my time with people who I know have a level of interest rather than like people who like may not be qualified or like I'm, you know, calling people who I don't know who are interested. And I want to say one more thing going back to market selection, who to select. Like we talked about how the market is most important. Look for triggers that will key you in on someone who may be interested in what you have to offer, right? Did this company recently get funding? Are they hiring people? Has a new person been put in place? Has a new executive been put in place, like a new hire, right? Look for these sort of things. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is good for this. You can see growth rates in employee headcount and revenue, right? If people are hiring, it's a really good thing. Go on to job boards where people are posting jobs for different things for what you may be selling and hit those people up, right? Because even if they are like looking for a full-time employee or a contract employee, hey, they may be interested in, they may not know what you offer and they may be interested in that. So think about ways that show like, okay, this person may be interested in what I have.
Job boards, I think, is a great suggestion. Mm-hmm. One more thing is, I don't think that a lot of people know about this, but for example, a tool like Built With, if you know mm-hmm. that there is a specific technology that your potential ideal clients use, for example, I recently talked to a founder who is trying to reach companies who use, I don't know, specific technology, like, I don't know what it was, JSON or something like this. I'm not a developer, as you can tell. But I recommended him, do you know if they're using a specific technology that Built With can identify? So he went and he said, yes, there is. So this way, very easily, you're able to find a list of all the companies that are using this technology on their website or specific integration, for example, like HubSpot. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to export all of those people. And then I think it even includes emails. If no, then Morgan recommended a couple of tools that you can use for that as well.
Yeah, Built With is a great tool. Yeah, anything you can use to get that extra bit of information to like see like, okay, this person, you know, you don't know if they're in market yet, but they know that like they could be a customer based on like what they're already using. If they're already spending money on what you have or something like what you offer or something adjacent to what you offer, like they have a technology that's, you know, based around something you offer, that's a huge indicator. So yeah, I definitely agree with that.
All right. What is a good deliverability?
I try to just look at response rates, right?
How about open rates?
Open rates. If I'm getting over 50%, you know, I'm happy with that.
Over 50%.
You can get better open rates than that for sure. But if you're getting over 50% open rates, then spam is not an issue.
Okay. And if they're getting like 20%, then there's a problem.
That's a big issue.
You need to dig deeper. Absolutely. All right. So then the next measurement would be the response rate. What's your average response rate?
It's tough. I know I wrote this in my case study. I'm going to load it up real quick. This campaign at 24%. 24%.
4% response rate for the campaign.
Reply.
And that's from, so for example, you send out 100 emails, approximately 50% of them, maybe a little bit more, open.
Right.
And then 24 out of 100 that you send respond to you.
Right.
My goodness. That's
awesome. But that's why it's important to follow up. It's replies over the life of the campaign, not just one email. I'm hitting them up 8 times over 2 months. So yeah, like a quarter of those people are responding to me through the life of that campaign. But also you got to remember too, these aren't all favorable responses. Some people are saying no, some people are saying go to hell, right? So, but still, that's a really good number of people.
So got it. It's not based on the first email. Okay, based on the lifetime of the campaign, which is 8 emails and 2 months. Awesome. Right. So those are, I think, really good numbers for us to keep in mind when we are trying to create a campaign. So that when you send out, for example, 1,000 emails, you can expect around 500 of them people to open, hopefully more, and then around between 10 and 25%. I don't think that people will be able to beat you, at least in the beginning. So that's around 200 people to respond to you with various responses. So I think this is really interesting to keep in mind. So what are some things that we can help improve the response rate? You immediately talked about two things: send out more emails and follow up more. Yeah. Any other things?
For this campaign, when I was sending out emails, I sent out emails before and was like offering cold outreach services. And I was using this case study as like a selling point, which is also something really good you want to use in emails that can help your responses, is like point direct to a case study. But I just talked about the results of my campaign. I said, hey, here's a case study where I reached out to, you know, 783 people. I spent $166.70 and generated $3,602 in revenue for 2,061% ROI. Would that type of ROI be helpful for your business? When someone says that to me, I'm thinking like in my head, like, yeah, like, of course, right? Now, is this going to magically make people respond to you? No, of course not. But it's a great way to start a conversation. If anyone's on on platforms like Upwork, or any freelance where people are post stuff like that, you can just post a link to a case study, be like, hey, here's the case study, here are my results. Do you think this would be helpful? And then you can get a lot of responses like that just by positioning it, writing a really good piece of content and positioning a case study. Another way to get people to respond. So I think a lot of times when people think about their ideal prospect, they are thinking about, okay, I'm someone with this title at this type of company, which like is important. But you got to understand, like, titles are misleading and people often operate outside of their titles within companies. You really don't know until you start digging. But in any company across the globe, it's easier to get someone to reply to an internal email from someone in their company than it is from an external email. So what I'm saying is, like, instead of emailing someone and trying to get their attention and get a meeting, it's oftentimes easier to email their boss, right? And get that email pushed down to them to take action on. So something I've done before and have been doing a lot recently, and this is outside of the realm of automation, but just manual email. So this can be good if you don't want to do the whole automation and plugging in the, you know, stuff. If you don't want to do high volume, all that, you can do this manually. I usually reach out to, let's say I'm trying to get in to someone who's at the manager level, right? I will reach out to, like, if you have them here, they're a manager, I will reach out to a director, a VP, and someone in the C level. And I will reach out to all of them with a similar email, but I'll say, like, at the bottom in the PS, I reached out to person 1, 2, and 3 in the same regard. So I'm sending it to all of them. And there's kind of a special way I write the email, but essentially I'm sending this message to all of them. And in the message, I'm looking to get pushed to the right person. I'm thinking like, hey, I'm not asking for a meeting. I'm saying like, who is the right person to handle this? Because executives and senior leadership, when they get an email, they're looking, they're thinking like, who can I give this to? And employees underneath are looking to cover their ass. So you get an email from your boss, you are responding to it. Like, even like, you know, they CC you on it, they push it to you, you respond to it. They're going to respond to it. To the, if they respond to it, they're going to respond to it so that, you know, their boss can see that they're taking action on it and that they saw this, because they don't want you to reach out to them again and that person being like, oh, you know, why didn't you take care of this? I know it's kind of like esoteric type stuff, but I mean, we've all worked in companies, like, you know how this type of stuff works. Like, if your boss says, hey, check this out, you're going to take action on it, rather than like someone from outside the company that's saying like, hey, can we talk? Like, this, the less brand recognition you have, the more you need to focus on the pain that you solve. Right. I interviewed someone for my podcast and he used to work at Google, and I was like, in sales. And I was like, hey, what was that like? And he was like, well, when we cold call people, they didn't hang up. You know, you say, hey, I'm giving you a call from Google. And they're like, all right, go on. Right. Most places, other places, you say, hey, I'm da-da-da. Okay, click. You know what I mean? Same thing with email. The more brand equity you have, the less you need to like focus on what exactly you do, because people probably know what you do, or at least some idea. The less you have, the more you want to focus on the pain that you solve, not what your company does or what your position is or who you are or what your history is. You want to focus on the pain point, a painful problem that you solve, and try to figure out who handles that. I'm trying to get pushed to, who would that help in the company, right? And looking for that referral.
Morgan, this was really helpful. Any other questions that I should have asked you, but I didn't?
I would say like resources to check out for copywriting. So copywriting gets overlooked a lot when it comes to, you know, just sales communication. And there's so much, if you want a new idea, read an old book. I mean, seriously, like there's so many good books out there, old ones where you can learn like basic fundamentals of this stuff and like markets and harnessing demand and how to get people's attention. There's a really good book called Cashvertising. And it talks about the 9 secondary wants, these things like social proof, convenience, things like that. I would look into that when it comes to, check out that book for how to craft your emails. That can help a lot. Check out a book called Scientific Advertising. That's a really good book too. Claude Hopkins is he's dead and gone now, but he invented the split test. He originally started testing out direct response communication like long ago, testing out different headlines. And he talks about like how the headline is most important in your sales piece. Writing that makes people take action, right? That's all we're doing. We're trying to get someone to take action. How can I write words and get you to take action, right? So those resources and anything in copywriting would be solid to check out.
Awesome. Thank you. Where can founders find more about you and tell me about your services? I hope that you're offering these services to people as well, because I'm sure everyone really needs those, especially when they're just starting their tool and they don't have any sales. Cold outreach is really the way to go, especially at the beginning.
Absolutely. So I'm not offering any hands-on services right now. Yeah, I work full-time doing this every day, but people want to chat and need help with something, I'm always there to kind of help out where I can. So I do some like consulting in that regard, just like giving advice and helping think of strategy. But the best place to find me, my podcast, it's called The B2B Sales Tech Podcast by Morgan Williams.
Awesome. And what's your website?
Yeah, it's morgandwilliams.com.
Awesome. Morgan, this was really helpful. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome. Thanks, Natalie. I appreciate it.
And that's it for this episode. For those tech founders who have a remote team, I have a question. Do you find yourself that it's much faster for you to do things by yourself than waste all of that mental energy delegating tasks to someone? And so you either don't hire anyone, or if you already have a remote team, you're guilty of doing those tasks by yourself, because there's just so much energy goes into delegating the tasks and then just managing people. Are you able to take a few days off and not be worried that your servers will go down or your support is going to blow up? What if you could work on more strategic, important things and let your team fix the bugs If you only started building your team in the last couple of years, I guarantee that you are making lots of mistakes that hinder your growth without even realizing that. Oftentimes, you, the founder, may end up being the bottleneck to your team's success. That is definitely hard to swallow, but it's true. But also look on the bright side, this is also the easiest problem for you to fix because you are in control of how to fix it. I'll be launching soon a program that will help tech founders improve your team performance and as a result, remove the roadblocks to scaling your SaaS just by improving your operations and team dynamic. This is really the shortcut. To be notified when it's live, go to my website, natalieluniva.com/team. natalieluniva.com/team.